This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 310 in the series. This session shares the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, June 24, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Tom Mercer opens the meeting on schedule at 7 p.m. Each person who speaks is announced. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to the individual documents referenced. The meeting recording runs around an hour and 50 minutes, so let's listen to the full town council meeting of June 24.
As a preliminary matter, this is Tom Mercer. Permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Councilor Bisanti.
Present.
Councilor Chandler.
Here.
Councilor Earls.
Here.
Councilor Hamblin.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Kelly.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Pellegrini.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
And Councilor Jones.
Yes, sir.
Councilor DeLocco.
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Town Administrator Jamie Helen.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Town Attorney Mark Sorrell.
He's here.
Attorney Sorrell, are you on the call? Can you unmute yourself and be recognized, please?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if you heard me say present or not.
I did now. Thank you. Assistant Town Administrator Chrissy Welton.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
And Administrative Assistant Alicia Lee.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the June 24th, 2020 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, liberty and justice for all.
This open meeting of the Franklin Town Council is being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth from the outbreak of COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of the COVID-19 virus, we have been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings, and as such, the governor's order suspends the requirement of the open meeting law to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public bodies are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you can find posted with agenda materials for this meeting, allows public bodies to meet remotely so long as reasonable public access is afforded so that the public can follow along with the deliberations of the meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation unless such participation is required by law. This meeting will feature public comment. For this meeting, the Franklin Town Council is convening by telephone video conference via the Zoom application, as posted on the town's website, identifying how the public may join. This meeting is being recorded by Franklin TV, shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. This meeting is being recorded by others. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you, and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything that you broadcast may be captured by the recording. Moving on, citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none. Appointments, annual reappointments. Jamie.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if folks remember at the last meeting earlier in June, we did our annual reappointments to various boards and committees. And I had mentioned at the time that there were still some folks who had not responded back. Fortunately, with this extra meeting, we were planning on having a few more appointments, and there still may be a couple more that are loose ends that are looking to be tied up, but we were able to get these appointments on for this evening, and so the resolution is for Jose Trevino to be a member of the Cultural Council for a three-year term, and Robert R.T.S. Vito as a three-year term to the Zoning Board of Appeals. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is appointed committee members for June 20th, 2020. It's the second round. The town administrator has appointed the following individuals to serve to boards and committees. Cultural Council, three-year term, 9 members. Jose Trevino of 911 Washington Street through June 30th, 2023. Zoning Board of Appeals, three-year term, 3 members. Robert Acevedo of 64 Maple Street, June 30th, 2023. Motion. To ratify the annual appointments to the following boards and commissions.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion
second.
On the motion. Seeing no discussion, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor, I'm sorry, roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Passanti.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you and welcome to the new members of our boards.
Welcome.
Okay, moving on, legislation for action. Resolution 20-33, expenditure limits for FY 2021 on departmental revolving funds established by the Franklin Town Code, Chapter 73, as provided in General Law, Chapter 44, Section 53E1-2, as amended. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 20-33, expenditure limits for fiscal year 2021 on departmental revolving funds established by Franklin Town Code, Chapter 73, as provided Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Subsection 53.5, as amended, whereas the Franklin Town Council has adopted a bylaw amendment establishing a new chapter in the Franklin Town Code, Chapter 73, departmental revolving funds as provided in Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Subsection 53.5, as amended by Chapter 218 of the Legislative Acts of 2016, and whereas Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Subsection 53.5, as amended, further provides that the municipality's legislative body shall annually set the expenditure limit for each revolving fund established under the local bylaw. Now, therefore, the Franklin Town Council hereby sets the expenditure limit for each revolving fund established under Franklin Town Code, Chapter 73 for fiscal year 2021 as follows. Section 5.1, Senior Center Respite Program, $30,000. Section 5.2, Senior Center Activities Program, $100,000. Section 5.3, Senior Center Supportive Day Program, $100,000. Section 5.4, Use of Facilities Account, $100,000. Section 5.5, Fire Department Rescue Training Program, $10,000. Section 5.6, Community Policing Programs, $25,000. Now, therefore, be it moved and voted that the town fix the maximum amounts that may be spent during fiscal year 2021, beginning on July 1st, 2020, for the revolving funds established by town code of the departments listed above, in accordance with Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 44, Section Subsection 53E1/2. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-33.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So by statute, as many of you remember from previous budget years, the council is actually required to reauthorize the usage and the spending, the account limits on these departmental revolving funds. These are the exact same funds as well as the same limits that the town has had in practice for years. There are no changes to any of these funds. I will note on the next resolution, we are proposing a new revolving fund, but we can get to that next piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Councilor Chandler, did you have your hand up?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, through you to the town administrator. Like he said, all of these have been in place for a lot of years, but since I'm new, what's the respite program?
So the respite program is just a program for respite coordination down at the senior center that helps senior centers through a variety of programs. They've actually been doing them online, I believe, recently. I don't think Karen Alves is on the call tonight, but I'll be happy to follow up with you and ask her to give you a buzz if she wants some, you know, exact specifics of the exercise programs and the respite coordination that they go through.
Okay, I just didn't know the word.
I can tell you, give you more information if you want it.
Please, go ahead.
Why not?
Any surround.
So it's a program for like adult daycare. And then there's a alternate program, I believe, to give care providers time off from taking care of people that are age challenged.
Thank you, Attorney Searle.
All set, Councilor Chandler?
All set, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Any other counselor with a question? Seeing none, Steve Sherlock has a question.
Not a question, just an additional comment, Mr. Chair. It was mentioned by the town administrator, I believe, in terms of their virtual. I did meet with Ariel Doggett today, coincidentally, to discuss the promotions around those virtual events. The most recent was held this past Monday and featured some music, and it was well received with more than 20 people participating.
Thank you, Mr. Sherlock. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to make a comment or has a question on this resolution? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 20-33, a majority roll call votes required. Clerk will call the roll.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Asante.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
And zero, sir.
Motion carries. Okay, moving on. Resolution 20-38, acceptance of General Law, Chapter 60, Section 15B, in the establishment of a tax title collection revolving fund for treasurer collector. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 20-38, Acceptance of General Law Chapter 60, Section 15B, and Establishment of a Tax Title Collection Revolving Fund for Treasurer Collector. Whereas General Law Chapter 60, Section 15B is a local acceptance statute which authorizes a municipality to establish a tax title collection revolving fund, and whereas said statute provides that a municipality may establish a tax title collection revolving fund by a vote of its legislative body taken upon the recommendation of its chief executive officer, and whereas the town of Franklin Home Rule Charter designates the Franklin Town Administrator as the town's chief executive officer, and he has recommended to the Franklin Town Council that it vote to establish a tax title collection revolving fund for the Franklin Treasurer Collector. Now, therefore, be it voted by the Franklin Town Council that the town of Franklin hereby accepts General Law Chapter 60, Section 15B, and the Franklin Town Council hereby establishes a tax title collection revolving fund for the Franklin Treasurer Collector in accordance with the Franklin Town Administrator's recommendations, and said fund shall begin on July 1st, 2020, first day of fiscal year 2021. This resolution should take effect according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move Resolution 20-38.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a proposed new revolving fund to add to the list that was just voted on by the council. Originally, both the finance director and the treasurer collector, Chris Sandini and Carrie Bertoni, respectively, are on this call tonight if folks have questions. Originally, they wanted to create this revolving fund as there's over the course of the year, you basically become a self-sustaining revolving fund, just like the other ones, where the revenue comes in, pays for the expenses that go out. And additionally, when we came up with the going through the budget, this was just one of the small items that we felt we could put forward at this time that eventually would take a minor amount, $32,000, out of the operating budget. That $32,000 is appropriated annually in the town's operating budget. And if we created a revolving fund, we'd be able to create a self-sustaining account, much like the other ones, where the fees for service cover the expenditures, which would also free up $32,000 in the town's operating budget every year, whereas everybody knows we really save every dollar that we can. So for the technical aspects of all of this, I'm happy to yield the floor to Mr. Sandini, Ms. Bertoni, and Mr. Sorrell if there are any questions from the council. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Further discussion from the council? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this resolution? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 20-38. Majority roll call votes required. Councilor Jones, please call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Santi.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Moving on, Resolution 20-39, Establishment of the Metacomet Emergency Communications Center, commonly referred to as the MEC Stabilization Fund. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution 20-39, the creation of MEC Public Safety Stabilization Fund as authorized by General Law Chapter 40, Section 5B, and transfer of funds thereto. Whereas General Law Chapter 40, Section 5B authorizes a municipality to create a stabilization fund for a specified purpose and to appropriate amounts thereto, and whereas the town of Franklin has need for special purpose stabilization fund to allow it to accumulate funds to pay the assessment, which will be due from the town Metacomet Emergency Communication Center, aka MEC, to fund its operations, as well as accumulate funds to pay unanticipated capital and operating expenses of town police department and or fire department. Now, therefore, being voted by the Franklin Town Council, that as authorized by General Law Chapter 40, Section 5B, a special purpose stabilization fund to be known as the MEC Public Safety Stabilization Fund is hereby created, and the purpose for said stabilization fund shall be to accumulate funds to pay the assessments which will be due from the town to the Metacomet Emergency Communications Center, MEC, to fund the MEC's operations and or to accumulate funds for town to pay any unanticipated town police department and or fire department capital and operating expenses. The sum of $447,355 is hereby transferred from account 0122-5200 Regional Dispatch to the MEC Public Safety Stabilization Fund. This resolution shall become effective on and after or after July 1st of 2020.
Move resolution 20-39.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as discussed at the budget hearing last week, I think everybody on this call and on the board is familiar with the almost certain grant that we are able to establish, which is going to allow the town to save its full year assessment in FY21, where the state's going to pay for that. As I also mentioned there, if anybody else is on the call in the public, they can go back and look at the budget message narrative on the FY21 budget site. And they'll be able to read, you know, all sorts of details relative to what I'm talking about. But tonight's resolution is just simply to create the stabilization account that I believe is prudent fiscal policy to make sure that we save up enough funds out of these savings over the next 4 years, where we're aiming to at least have $1 million to $1.5 million in the stabilization account, so that when FY25 hits, and we, the town will then be on the full hook for its full assessment for the dispatch center. That's a big number to go from $0 up to $1.5 million possibly. And so the money in this account is primarily being proposed to use to help transition the town to fill in those gaps in FY25 and 26 to make sure we have enough money to pay our bills. What I also did in the stabilization fund is allows, as many of you have heard from many in the law enforcement and public safety community in Franklin, obviously with transitioning to the MEC, there's been a tremendous amount of transition. And there are some costs that have been burdened by the town where we've had to pay, namely last year, and the project is almost done, where the copper wire has been taken out by Verizon and Comcast and all the utility companies. We've had to replace that with our own infrastructure, which in the long run is much better for the town of Franklin, but the town had to use $280,000 of other free cash over the last couple of years to pay for that, whereas the stabilization fund will be accessible for some of those costs if there's leftover money in that account. So the account and stabilization fund is intended to be additional broad here so that fire and police are able to patch any gaps that they have. As we continue this transition to the Regional Dispatch Center, they will be able to potentially use some of those monies to cover their operating or capital costs. But again, the primary reason for this is to allow a buffer of money to help the town phase in FY25 and FY26 when the full assessment comes back to it. I will make one last quick point. You'll notice in the resolution that there's a deposit for $447,000. That is the amount, which is a half year assessment. So it's half of what the town would have paid if we had not gotten this grant. So this is essentially the seed money to start the account. This was in the approval of the budget document that was passed last week by the council. So that will be the first installment of money deposited into this stabilization. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Further discussion from the council? Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie, I hate to sound confused, but I'm confused on your explanation. I was fine until you started explaining. So So we have $447,000 that we approved in the voting document for 2021. You're moving that over to a stabilization fund?
Correct.
And then you're taking out of the stabilization fund how much to pay for the MEC
Nothing.
So how are we paying
the stabilization fund is a piggy bank. You're saving up money over the next 4 years to hopefully get to 1 million to 1.5 million in savings so that when FY25 comes, we have extra money to be able to pay our FY25 assessment.
So what you're saying is we're paid up from today until FY25.
Each year, let me just walk through this carefully just so we really understand. The grant from the state pays for our entire assessment for FY21 and FY22.
Okay.
The grant pays for 50% of our assessment in FY24 or FY23 and 25%. Why they did 100%, 100%, 50, 25, I have no idea. Those are the rules, though.
I'm fine with that explanation. Okay. I thought that's what it was in the beginning, and then as you started explaining to me, you went into a mode that I couldn't follow you. So I was trying to be clear. Sure. So we're good. 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 is when that we have to start paying.
The full assessment, exactly.
I appreciate it. Thank you,
sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Any further questions or comments on this resolution from a councilor? Is there anyone in the audience that has a question or comment on this resolution? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-39, a two-thirds majority roll call votes required. So we'll need six in the affirmative. Councilor Jones, please call the roll.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Vasanti.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Bylaw Amendment 20-855, Chapter 82, Water Fee Increase. First reading, clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Bylaw Amendment 20-855, Chapter 82, Municipal Service Fees, Bylaw to amend the Code of the Town of Franklin at Chapter 82. Be it enacted by the Franklin Town Council that Chapter 82 of the Code of the Town of Franklin, entitled Fees, is hereby amended at Appendix B as follows. Appendix B, list of service rates effective for bills issued after September 30th, 2020, water usage rates shall be as follows. For CCF of 0 through 15, the water usage rate is going to change from June 30th, 18 to water usage of September 30th, 20 to $6.33 with 6/30/21 going up to $6.96. For a CCF of 16 through 40, the water usage for 18 was $6.05. For 9/30/20, it's going to be $6.66. For 6/30/21, it's going to be $7.33. For a CCF of 41 or more, the water usage fee was 7, 10, and 18. It's going to be $7.81 on 9/30/20 and go up to $8.59 on 6/30/21. This bylaw shall become effective according to the provisions outlined in the Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-855 to second reading.
Second.
Bylaw amendment.
The bylaw.
Yes.
Bylaw amendment.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second discussion. Jamie?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I outlined in my memo, this goes back to the discussion we had in March when we were entering into the COVID situation. I began the memo with first the good news that over the last few months since we've been in this crisis, the Charles River Pollution Control District, the excellent job those folks do over there, was able to lower Franklin's assessment to that district by just under $300,000 to the ratepayers. And so the good news is by holding off on these votes, we were able to not have to bring forward the 3% increase to the sewer bills that we had anticipated back in March. So that's the good news. Additionally, though, the staff are continuing to recommend the water rate increase of 10% effective. Actually, this memo is incorrect. The resolution is correct. We are proposing that rate take account in September 1st of 2020 with an additional 10% water rate hike in July 1st of 2021. As noted before, during these discussions, but also tonight, the main driver for this is certainly the water treatment plant. And we're going to get into a little bit of more of a water discussion this evening. But the water treatment plant, which many people are hopefully familiar with, is a project off of Grove Street to build a new treatment plant. In addition, is going to reconstruct wells 3 and 6, which are now currently not online due to the high iron and manganese levels that are there. And DEP is asking, or basically mandating, the town reconstruct those wells. So the project has been in construction, for the last 10 months or so. It's on schedule and on budget. And I have in the packet this evening the schedule of that water treatment plant, which should be done in about a year. This water treatment plant is a $13 million project. As all of you recognize, we have all signed on to state SRF loans. We've got all the financials in order. We have a contractor on site contract. And as we do with any vendor, we always manage those projects to do the best we can to reduce costs and ensure that we never have to tap into our contingency. Additionally, in the future, that project is obviously signed, sealed, and delivered, and it should be done in a year. Additionally, what the big policy question will be down the road for the council, not certainly tonight, but down the road, pun intended there, but is really the roads program and the water infrastructure program that the town and many of you have become so accustomed to. As everybody knows, we're in a five-year water main replacement program. The council authorized the first installment of that a year and a half ago. Those bills will be coming due. We were able to get done with the Lincoln Street project, as many of you have already heard, this year. And so we are recommending that the council approve in one vote, these two increases in the water rates over the course of the next 2 years. I have actually asked the DPW director, Bruce Cannon-Reggi, to join this meeting as well this evening. I know the finance director is here as well, and we are happy to entertain any questions the council or public may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Quick question, only because it's fresh in my mind from one of the other things I do in the community. We haven't had any rain in the last 2 months. And I'm concerned about what our water, do we have anything coming from the state or from local?
Through you, Mr. Chairman of the council, and then obviously I've based on the news of the last 2 days, in fact, the news today, which people will be likely seeing in the newspapers over the next coming days, and another reason why I've asked Brutus to attend tonight, is we are looking at a water ban. Eastern Massachusetts is looking at a water ban as well. I will note that today, and I think Brutus might touch on this, we put this all together basically this afternoon, so anticipating some of these questions, because we've gotten a lot of emails, like many of you have, relative to development in town and what's the status of water. The state has a drought management task force, which is made up of state folks and federal and other stakeholders. The drought management task force has been in place for over 20 years. Actually, it was one of the things that I worked on as an intern when I was 22 years old, when I worked for the state in water policy. But they did meet today, and I think Brutus is going to give an update. I expect that this is going to continue to get more press as the weeks go on, and I'd like to give him an opportunity to go through some of the numbers that we're seeing. I just want to, and Brutus will mention this again, but I just, it really is worth emphasizing. We never take these decisions lightly. Nobody likes stands on anything. But as you're going to see in the numbers, Massachusetts right now over the last 3 weeks is facing a very significant problem relative to water resources. And we should be at least thinking positively that our state leaders and our folks down in our DPW have their eye on this. The forecast does not look good for the rest of the summer in terms of rain. But I will pass the baton over to Brutus now and let him walk through a few of the slides he presented with some of the with some of the water numbers that we're seeing here in Franklin. So, Brutus, you there?
Yes, I'm unmuted.
Oh.
Through you, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Just
give you a quick update. Next slide, Alish. So as Tom Andrews said, the drought task force met this afternoon after reviewing current conditions and forecasts. For less than normal participation and higher than normal temperatures, task force is recommending to the Secretary of EEA that a level 2 significant drought be declared for the state. And pretty much as Tom Manager touched on, that's no outside watering lawns, what it comes down to, and other things. But, you know, different people have different permits. Next slide. So kind of just, as the Tom Andrews said, Jamie, we kind of threw this together. So I looked at some different numbers just to try to explain things. So year to date, since January, rainfall in Massachusetts down 5 inches, typically at 43 inches of rain normally. So about 24% down at this point. I think we all know, I was happy about the winter wasn't too bad. Mild winter, no snowpack. What that means is not much groundwater recharge. You know, snowpack slowly leaches back into the ground. I was hoping not to say the stormwater question, but statement, but you know, it does wash off. So in June, we've only had really one. I made this today. Obviously, it rained a little this afternoon. I think you got that, but only one. We've only got 1.6 inches of rain. Normally, we get 3.74. So we're off by 58% at this point. You know, the month's almost over. One event was that flash tropical storm that we had 2 weeks ago, which is, I think you all remember, like 1 inch of rain fell quickly in less than 30 minutes, ran off, you know, which it doesn't absorb into the ground. So it runs off and runs downstream. We had to come in and, you know, give the DPW boys a plug. Everybody came in and cleaned the catch basin, so everything drained out. And then this slide's a little, the drought management task force did meet today, and I gave you an update on that. Next slide. So well pumping in 2020, we've been pumping, this is in millions of gallons, the following per month, 68 million gallons. February is 55 million. March is 60 million. April, 60 million. May, we jumped up to 75 million. And June, so far, this is an estimate of what we've done so far. It'd probably be higher if we kept going the way we're going, about 86 million gallons. Which is a lot of water. Next slide. So average daily pumping. I tried to condense this. The picture on the left, it shows what's been going on in Franklin since 2000. You heard me talk about this, and this is, you know, the council investing in our water system, having our conservation plan in place through DEP, which is, you know, the 1 day a week watering. So basically, it shows, you know, our average daily use. And this only goes up to 2018, but last year we were at 2.4 million gallons, that's average daily. So if you look on the right, average daily use in 2000, you see, you know, January 2.2, February 2 basically, March 2, April 2, May 2.4, and June, you know, 2.9, which is very high. We're only permitted to do 3.41. on average. So we're pushing that limit. Next slide. So these are the concerns, what's going on in our system right now. All our wells that can operate right now are running at permitted limits. That means even if we could take more water out of the ground, we can't because we're not allowed to by DEP. So and we're not keeping up with demand. Our tank levels are low, particularly at Fort Chill tank. normally want to be about, and this is just a static number, 55 feet or 35 feet, and we're at 13.6 feet this morning. So that's a big difference. And just to put in perspective, just on that one tank, each foot that we're down represents 110,000 gallons. So just on one tank alone, we're down 2.5 million gallons of water. What happens is when that static level goes down, businesses or homes that are on higher elevation areas, they'll start seeing some issues. Particularly, they got lawn water pressure issues inside their house, but it's also fire control issues. I think you can understand. FIP, you know, there's a lot of industrial up there, and God forbid there was ever a fire, you know, we would be able to give them the water and the pressure that they need. Next slide. So this is our well information right now, just so you all know. So well six is offline now because, you know, we're building the plant out there because of iron and manganese issues. If this was on right now and the plant was completed, I might not be having this talk with you because that plant well alone can do 720,000 gallons per day by itself. So that's, we just can't use it because it's iron and manganese, it's offline. Well number three, that's the other one that is being part of a new treatment plant. We can only pump that at 350 gallons per minute, even though it's permitted 500 gallons a minute because of iron and manganese issues. Just so folks, and you know, the whole iron and manganese thing, that's what people think of as dirty water. It gets it can be rusty colored or black. So if we put too much into that system, or put too much into our system, the water can get discolored. It's not a safety issue, but it just doesn't look good in turbidity and cause a lot of problems. Well number eight is only pumping at 100 gallons a minute, not 350 gallons per minute, because the casings need to be cleaned. These wells, the more we use them, they pull fines in there, and everything has to be cleaned out and maintained, and that is scheduled. But so we're down there. And then well number nine, we only can pump 200 gallons a minute, not 500 gallons a minute, because of the low aquifer. We just, at the screen level, we're 2 feet below the screen. If we kept just pumping it down too quickly, it would start pulling air. So, and well nine is one of the town's oldest or newest wells, and that's why it is that way. So number nine, just in the whole management thing, typically we run that more in the wintertime. We like to, but because of the situation we're in now, we have to, use it. Next slide. So basically that just kind of shows you the drought map and where we're at. And if you guys got any questions, it's kind of straightforward, but yet complex, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Brutus. And thanks for putting these slides together for us. It's certainly very helpful. Mr. Kelly, very quick with that hand.
Getting good. We're going to have to get back to the chamber soon.
Yeah.
Brutus, great presentation. Very nerve-wracking of where we're heading. If we have a hot summer, we all want a hot summer. We all want to get outside, right? But nerve-wracking on the water system. My question, and I know you had mentioned it quickly, but I just want to reiterate. What is our state permit allowing us to pump out of the ground every day?
On average, every well has its own permitted amount, but on average, it's 3.14.
3.14.
3.14 million gallons.
3.14.
On average.
Okay. So is that, we have one, no matter, it could rain all throughout March, all throughout February. We could have 100 inches of snow, and it seems like every June, July, we have a water ban. Is the water ban a stipulation in our state permit that we get every year?
Yes, it is. It's what we call it, the conservation plan. I mean, what I'm talking about, we have to do now is a water ban. Mm-hmm. But what the town agreed to years ago was the conservation plan, and that is the one day a week watering that is required the end of June to the first part of September. We're kind of special with that. And then additionally, but even within that, we still can only do 3.14 per day on average. Now, some days, mind you, we go above that. you know, some summers, if like you said, it was very wet and everything else, and even though we're doing that, we could be pushing 3.5 million gallons a day, but on average, it can only be 3.14.
So when people, and I'm not advocating for building here, I'm not sure, that's not the point of my message. My point is that when people say, we have a water ban every year because we have a lot of building, it's really because it's in our conservation plan.
It's a state DEP permit, yes, you're correct.
Okay, so I just think we don't emphasize and talk about that enough. I don't think, I'm 100% for making stronger permitting laws and everything else for our town so that we can slow the growth. A lot of people want to come to Franklin, and I think that's a great plan, but we need to strengthen our community and our growth so that it's smart growth. But I think people jump on that water bandwagon, right? And they go, that's the reason we have a water ban. So if we got rid of half the houses, we'd still have a water ban.
Correct.
Okay. So a couple of questions. On well number 8, do you know when that cleaning is going to happen? Is it happening this summer, or are we going to wait till the fall or winter?
Oh, we're trying to get that. We're scheduling. I mean, we schedule the stuff out as best we can. Okay. And wait to hear back from the contractor on that. But that was trying to, yeah. I don't have the exact date, no.
Okay, no, that's okay. Any update on the Popolatic well that we continuously try to get going, which could potentially provide a lot more water for us?
Popolatic Street?
Yeah, there was a well that we looked at years ago to Purdue over there. I think you applied for a permit at one point, and they just have never answered or even said no, in fact.
Well, they did, and then they said we have to go through the whole permitting process again, because it actually started back in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And there is a wellhead out there with potential to do it. But when we do what's called the 48-hour test, the drawdown, there was impact on the Charles River.
Okay.
So that affects that. And additionally, I want folks, one thing that Franklin has, or we don't have, I should say, is we have no stream gauge controls. So a lot of communities in our area, actually every community in our area, they have a stream gauge controls. So if the Charles River gets very low, they have to turn off certain wells, or they really have to go into, you know, a water ban. We have fought tremendously not to have that. If that Popolatic Street well ever came on, we'd probably, if we really needed it, then we would definitely have a river gauge type thing on it, and that could affect all our wells. And the problem with that is most people are trying to put additional wells in, and when do you need it? In the summer.
Exactly.
And so you get this brand new well, but then you can't use it in the summertime when you need it.
Okay.
So that's why we approached you know, the whole thought process. You know, Mr. Kelly, we've been working together for years on this stuff.
Oh,
I agree. We talked about buying water from other communities and doing stuff. And actually, Deacon Parada was the one that, you know, brought it up about our wells 3 and 6, because they're permitted for a lot of water. We just can't get the water because the iron and manganese. So going this route, you know, we're gonna have a substantial amount more water available. They're called registered wells, so they can't, DEP can't restrict the use on any of those. So it's our water. It's our water forever, and it's just a good plan, and we own it. So that's 3 and 6 going to be great.
Awesome. I'm excited to have one. A couple more questions and just thoughts that I've been talking about. With the water ban, and especially in the summer when the pull down, we don't really worry about the pull down on our wells in December or January, but in the winter we do. We have a thought of going to a multi-metered system where if somebody wanted outside irrigation, they would have to get it on a separate meter, and maybe that's a little higher than what the house is. It's a little less taxing on the average citizen who doesn't have a well, and somebody who has a luxury of, a sprinkler system, while somebody who does have a sprinkler system, the affordability is there if they're going to use it to spend a little more to water their grass. I hope that makes sense.
I think I know what you mean. We do not, some communities actually go the other way. They call it deduct meter. So if the water's going outside, they don't get charged for sewer. It's a conservation measure. I'd hate to have that because, you know, obviously, and it's a fact. If you're watering your lawn, you're paying your water and sewer fees. So as part of that, you know, we can argue that blue in your face if that's the right thing to do, but that's just the way we're set up at this time. And no,
I get that. My thought was, and I didn't think of the source side of it, but you know, if you charge the homeowner for the water and soda that they're using, i.e., you know, how we do our calculations on storage. If we did that for what goes through your house, but then up the rate that goes on the outside, it's a little more of a luxury, right? We wouldn't get that sewer fee, but we'd be able to up the water fee. That might actually, it would really separate it. I feel like as we up the water rates, and I feel like when I was doing the numbers, I got a substantial number, almost 20% of an upgrade, of an uptick on water rates over the last 12 years. I'm just nervous at the affordability of our community and what they can do. I mean, they're being taxed enough on everything else, and water is an essential need. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. The other thing is, you know, multiple unit dwellings. Are we able to separate those out? Can we can start doing a consideration there? That we got to look at some kind of conservation measure. And I get exactly where you're coming from. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing ideas, spaghetti against the wall, to see what sticks.
Sure. You know, I will say, you know, we're part of an annual or biannual survey. You know, Franklin's water and sewer rates are pretty much middle of the road. You know, we're not very expensive. We're not the cheapest by far. But with that said, you know, we have a great water system. We have very good quality water. The additional cost of, you know, having an outside irrigation system, it does cost money to do that. And people are paying for that now. I mean, that's just my thought on that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you know, through the whole water conservation plan and everything else, it really comes down to outside lawn watering. You know, I got to say, I've said this a million times to my peers, you know, because we always make the jokes that the residents don't listen to everything else. When we had the fire last year and we put out there, you know, we were in dire straits. I mean, we, you know, our biggest producers of water was out, and, you know, we put out no watering, and it wasn't like every other year. People really listened. They really stopped watering. We went down almost 900,000 gallons a day, which shows you how much is actually just going to the lawns, because that's pretty much what we did. And, you know, folks listened, and, you know, we were able to get through that crisis. And it worked out really well. So lawn watering is, you know, is a luxury, and it does use a lot of our resource.
And I can see the need for the sewer on there to be charged. Ultimately, we're talking about EPA water runoff, sulfurous going into the ground, right? Like, we've got all that problem, and watering your lawn is going to push those into the ground.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm just, we've got a brainstorm, I think, to try to figure out. And I know you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. I don't know if there's another way to go on it. So, but I've allotted my time, and I appreciate your comments. And it was a great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Brutus, just for clarification, for the people at home or watching, on the water rates, it says CCL, which I know is roughly the $6.15, or whatever the number is times 750 gallons, roughly?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's funny because I do it all the time, even with my wife at home when she buys bottled water. I mean, a gallon of our water is less than a tenth of a penny,
right,
when it comes out. I mean, it's, if you look at it that way, it's cheap. You know,
hence why I was trying to make the point as to what the dollars were against, which is roughly 750 gallons.
Yeah, and a lot of people like numbers. I mean, the average house, you know, per bedroom, they say per day uses around 220 gallons of water. I mean, that's a little high. That's what the state likes to use. And that's when you figure about showering, toilets, bathing, you know, outside water, use water your car, but that's what they go by, so.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a comment and a question, and I think, thank you, Brutus, for this presentation. I think it shows how badly we need the water treatment plant. If we had those other wells up and running, we wouldn't be as scared for the fire department and for those of us who need water. So, but thank you. I do have one question. I don't know if Jamie can answer this or maybe Brutus can as well. Just a clarification. Jamie mentioned something about the roads and the water main program that we normally do, and that. But was the increase in fiscal in June of 2021, is that to add to make sure that we can continue that program? That was my question.
Jamie?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the objective is to continue that program with those increases.
Okay.
I would note, as pointed out the memo, obviously the situation at Gorilla is one that has publicly come out of bankruptcy court, but the final deal isn't there. The future of the plant, as far as I know, the plant is continuing to operate as it always has, but obviously a little bit, that is an X factor out there. I think the other thing that's going to be out there that's going to challenge this program will also be just the general economy. You know, when we get out of the public health crisis, then we're going to have to deal with the economic crisis. And I think the part that's mostly there is the long-term sustainability of the water main program. And to Councillor Kelly's point, you know, I think like every department, as I outlined in the budget message this year, and this includes the water department too, you know, we're going to have to start looking under every stone, looking in every cabinet, and just trying to figure out which issues we can try to sacrifice. If you notice this year, maybe didn't, we actually postponed the water and sewer capital programs just to try to maintain additional cash. The stuff that we proposed was no critical or emergency needs, but you know, we tried to make those decisions to try to be able to keep the town fiscally sound. What I'm saying is the road portion of things and unknown with Chapter 90 money and other factors like that, I think in FY22, a year from now, maybe a little earlier, we're going to be having some more deeper policy debates about how we're going to address those issues. So, but the intention is to keep these rates to be able to pay for that stuff at least for another year.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Hamblin. Councillor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you. Thank you, Brutus, for that presentation. That was excellent. Just to clarify, just to make sure that the public knows, if you do see people watering, the people that have private wells still can water their lawn. Is that correct, Brutus?
Through you, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Brutus.
Yes, they can. The town or DEP does not regulate private wells. I can say we all come from the same aquifer and probably appreciate if they didn't, but yeah, if they have their own well, they can.
Okay, just so they know, I have my own well, but I don't water, Bruce. Don't worry about it. You can go buy it. It's brown as heck, you know? So just so you know, but okay, that's all. I just want to make sure that the public knows that. Thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Brutus.
It is out there that if folks do have a private well, that they put a sign up so that we know.
Absolutely.
And so all the residents know too also.
Without question. But I also have a private well, but I don't water my lawn either, because if you water it, it grows. If it grows, Councillor DeLorco, anything else?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Councillor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure who this goes to. It piggybacks a little bit on your question. I was just wondering how much per quarter this 10% will raise the bill for the average house. Does anybody have that?
Jamie, you want to?
I'm digging it in my memo just to remind. I don't believe the average bill. I would maybe say, probably guessing, Brutus, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe $25 a year? $40 a year? Not even that much.
No, it's not. The average bill is around, and it's just for the water side, is around $400.
Yeah.
So you break that down, it's $100 a quarter, going up 10%.
So $10 a quarter. So yeah, it's about $25 to $40, depending on how much you use what your bill is, but that's the average.
Okay, the average would be 40. I know a lot of people are starting to add up how much each bill is going up.
Yep.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Bruce Scattarici. Bruce, great presentation. I'm finally starting to wrap my head around these wellheads. So with so many wellheads down or impaired, which is the best or highest producing well now, or is it still just a conflagration of a little here and a little there for the town of Franklin? Is there one well doing a lot of the work, or three wells doing some of the work? Or...
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, so our biggest well producers, I mean, what we call is wells one and two, but the DEP also, that we also got wells 13 or 14, whatever, it's just a nomenclature, which is the main treatment plant that we have down here at the DPW facility. So they're the largest producers. And then obviously, and then the well number four, that's over off of Miller Street near Norfolk. You might've heard of that one. That's one of our biggest producers. So, and then the other ones are, you know, they're give or take depending on the size of them.
Mr. Chairman, I just continue with one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
So, Brutus, in a perfect world, if we get those other three wells online, do you ever foresee a day where we might not need to do a water ban?
Well, just to clarify, as I talked about to Councilor Kelly before, we're always going to have a water conservation plan. That's in our permits right now. And that permit goes for another 12 years. So that's not changing. So we are going to have one day a week watering a minimum, basically July and August. With that said, with our wells on board, with all of them, if everything's working and up and going, the thing that our wells are running 24 hours a day right now. We're not resting anything. So in the future, besides the fact that we probably won't have to, you know, go to a complete water ban, which we have to do now, but additionally, we'd be able to rest our wells, rest our aquifers, and obviously have a reserve. I can't stress enough, you know, is that, you know, this time of year, whether it's, you know, obviously droughty conditions or not, the water use goes up significantly. And it's all because of outdoor water. You know, if we didn't have outdoor watering, you know, we're in downtown Boston, well, I know we're not, then, you know, they don't have the fluctuations like we do.
I release the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor DeLarco, a follow-up?
Yeah. Thank you. To you, Mr. Chairman, I just got a text from a concerned citizen. He just asked me, why are we watering the baseball fields when we can't use them? Answer that?
I can. Actually, we've turned off the irrigation at the ball fields, all the ball fields. But we do plan on doing it once a week just to maintain them, but they will start browning out like everybody else. I look at it as a cost associated with them. You know, the fields are in great shape. They're public use. Everybody uses them. If they completely fail, it's tens of thousands of dollars to bring them back online. So, but we do a lot of maintenance practices with them. I think everybody can know that, you know, the aerification programs that we do a lot of fertilization programs. They're in great shape. They're very healthy turf. So they will go into dormancy, just like everybody else's lawn that's in good shape. I think everybody knows, you know, everybody calls the Franklin lawn around this area. A lot of them burn out. And what happens? They come back in the spring or they come back in the fall and starts raining. Cool season grasses, as grow around here, are meant to go dormant. They're meant to turn brown. That's how they store their energy. When it gets the water back in the fall, they start growing again. So, but yeah, we're very mindful of that. All the town buildings are all turned off. So, you know, all the libraries and all that, everything's turned off just like everybody else. So we did that the other day.
Thank you, Brutus. That was great.
Jamie, did you want to add something?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to also mention something a little different than we've done in the past. You know, I Brutus had called me on Monday afternoon to alert me to some of the numbers that we all saw this afternoon. and obviously working with you, Mr. Chairman, you know, we thought that this, given the meeting the state was having today, it was a very timely conversation. And as Councilor Kelly, I think, pointed out, you know, that we really wanted to have a discussion like this, you know, at the council. So all of you are aware, it's really the first forum where we're putting this out there. So this is new news as of tonight. One of the things I've also asked Brutus to do that's different in the past is to do, we're going to set up next week, I believe, one, and then maybe another one in July, and try to have two or three of them throughout the summer, of kind of coffees through Zoom or maybe in person down the road, where Brutus can invite people in to a call to try to answer questions, complain, maybe give a kudos to, you know, high five, and really have a discussion with us about the parameters. I think there's a perception out there that Councilor Kelly brought up of development, you know, overdevelopment equals more water, and what was the situation at the water treatment plant last summer, and really what's the state drought situation. I actually didn't know until Brutus made the presentation that they were recommending level two. You know, that's a fairly dramatic step this quickly for the state to do. And so I've asked him to do a few outreach presentations and sessions throughout the community so that citizens have an opportunity to call up and ask questions and engage in this so that we get the right information out there and we don't let people just have the opportunity to make up their own story. So I just wanted to mention that really quickly. We don't have dates and times, but we'll certainly make that available in the next couple of days.
Thank you, Jamie. I don't see any other hands up from councilors. Is there anyone in the audience that would, that has
a question? Councilor Flegri has a question, sir.
She didn't.
She my
didn't,
hand waving?
Oh, well, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, go ahead, Councilor Flegri.
Through you, I have a question for Brutus. Have you seen the numbers, gallons, what they have gone up since the pandemic now that has gone on with more people home? Do you show how much more water we're using?
Through you, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we did show, you know, we did show on the slide, and it's, it was a dramatic increase. I mean, obviously we start using more water in May just because it's warm outside, but it's funny talking, you know, with my staff, particularly Dave Allard and, you know, Deacon and Laurie, when she's still here, that, you know, people are at home more. And, you know, if you think about it, they're not driving to Boston and going to the bathroom. They're all going to the bathroom at home now because they're not going anywhere. So our use kind of went up quite a bit. Councilor Dorgie liked that, right? It's true, though, you know. so people are at home more, and then we had a lot more projects. I got to tell you one thing that's kind of neat, and I want people to know this. There are more, and I use the old school term, victory gardens out there. More people are growing stuff in their backyard than I've ever seen, and it's watering. And even with our, you know, our water ban, you can still hand water. I want folks to know that their gardens and stuff. That's not the huge user, but we've seen a lot of that. A lot of outdoor projects, filling the pools up, the kids playing. You know, it's been really hot. They're out there. You guys drive around, you see they're in their kiddie pools, and so the water has gone up since the pandemic. But don't forget, that means we're selling more water, making a little more money, too. So it kind of goes both ways.
A second question that I had, actually, it's a comment that I'm glad you brought up about the people using their wells. And I wish that many people would stop and think that they're still taking water from the aquifer, the water that we use. And, you know, to hear them say, well, I'm not using town water. They really are using town water, and I think that's what you said. So if they would only take that into consideration and conserve a little more, that would be helpful for our water situation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. And only because Councilor Pellegrini, Councilor Kelly and Councilor DeLocco, I think, brought this up amongst others. I think it's important that our audience and the taxpayers know and understand that what the sign that they see in the middle of town that says there's a water conservation ban or water conservation, That is mandated by the state. And if every single one of our wells were full to the top, we would still have that water conservation in effect in July and August. What we're talking about tonight is the state taking it a step further and maybe mandating an all-out water ban. So with that, I do think there's one person in the audience that has his hand up, Justin Bates. Just identify and street address, please.
Appreciate it. Yep. Longfellow Drive off Chestnut. Justin Bates. First, I don't oppose the resolution. It's definitely a necessary step as we expect hotter and drier summers with climate change. But since 2012, and there was an article linked to the tweet sent out, probably before that too, we recognize that these water service fees are outpacing inflation. I understand the tiered fee system makes it so that smaller users are charged less, but low-income households and all households and all businesses will definitely feel this in their wallets, but especially low-income households will feel this in the increase. And low-income households are not the ones who have outside sprinklers or have the luxury of a private well or are watering a garden. So they're feeling the negative effects of other residents' decisions. So I'm just curious, I guess, if there's been any discussion on a local level how we're supporting low-income households in Franklin that will be disproportionately affected by this increase.
Jamie. Unmute yourself, Jamie.
Ah. You said that right as the computer told me that, too. That was a really great question by Justin. So if you look in the town bylaw, I want to say it's section 82, it might be 85, fees. There's a provision in there called the Community Assistance Program. And there are residents, I think Brutus can update me, I want to say about 60 or 70 people take advantage of this each year, where you can get a significant discount based on income guidelines. For those households that do have those struggles, they can come in to the DPW and apply to get, I'm probably not using the right word, but a rebate or a discount, a significant portion on their water, and sewer and trash bill. Brutus, I'm happy, if you have a little bit more, you feel free to jump in.
Brutus. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Jamie's absolutely correct. The number goes up and down every year, but yeah, it's about 70 folks and we follow the criteria. We actually went through that program about 3 years ago and we actually captured some more folks just to make it a little more fair and equitable. And it's for all the enterprise funds. So it is trash, water, and sewer that they receive a significant discount. But to Mr. Bates' point, he is correct. Those folks aren't big users at all in the system. But as he also is right, it's a bigger impact on their total overall operating budget. So the town's been really good about that. So if they meet the criteria. And just one last point, if possible, Chairman.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. So 70 residents, I think the last statistic, and that's a great initiative that Franklin has to support low-income households, and that's definitely necessary. But 70 is just a small fraction. I think it's like 4.4% of Franklin is below the poverty line, or I don't know if there's more recent statistic, but I don't know if there's a program in place, especially with this increase in discussion, and probably is going to pass, hopefully it's going to pass, but to have those low-income households take advantage of that initiative.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure, go ahead, Brutus.
I would just add that I don't know the 4%, if that's accurate or not, but I can tell you that a lot of the lower-income folks, they're in the Franklin Housing Authority that we service, and they're not charged individually. Same with a lot of folks might be in apartments. So those are picked up by the landlord part of the fees. And then obviously how that goes. And then there are folks in the affordable housing, the 40Bs throughout town and stuff like that. So his numbers probably is correct, but to be a sole user that owns a household, that owns a resident, that actually has services, that's why we have this net in place to catch them.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, The vote will come on the motion to move bylaw amendment 20-855 to a second reading. A majority roll call votes required. Councilor Jones.
Chairman.
Yes.
Basanti.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
10-0, sir.
Motion carries. Resolution 20-40, salary schedule. Full-time elected official, town clerk. Clerk will read the resolution.
40 or 34, sir?
I have 40 next on my list.
Correct. Sorry about that. Resolution 20-40, salary schedule. Full-time elected official, a resolution amending Appendix A, Chapter 4 of the Code of Town of Franklin, entitled Salary Schedule, Full-Time Elected Official. Be resolved by the Franklin Town Council that Appendix A, Salary Schedule, Full-Time Elected Official, Chapter 4 of the Code of the Town of Franklin, is amended as follows. Appendix A, Salary Schedule, Full-Time Elected Official, Office, Town Clerk, former incumbent salary of $84,000, for fiscal year 21, salary $86,537. This resolution is effective for the fiscal year beginning on July 1st, 2020.
Move resolution 20-40.
Second.
Motion and second. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the resolution speaks for itself, but just for the public to know that by statute, elected official salary has to be approved as by the local legislative body each year.
Thank you, Jim. Further discussion? Councilor Kelly.
I just didn't see RAs in there.
Next week.
0.00. It's that added zero.
I was just making sure we got the extra zero. Thank you.
Twice as much as you got last year.
Even better. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, any questions or comments from the audience? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-40. Majority roll call vote. Councilor Jones, call the roll.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri. Allegri.
I'm here, yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Basanti.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Resolution 20-41. Ratification of the Memorandum of Agreement between the Franklin Police Association employees and the Town of Franklin. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 20-41, ratification of the Franklin Police Association contract. Be resolved by the Town of Franklin, acting by and through the Town Council, hereby ratifies the provisions of the attached Franklin Police Association collective bargaining agreement, which have been ratified by the Franklin Police Association employees. The provision of the agreements shall be in effect from July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2022. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-41.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is the final collective bargaining agreement on the municipal side to be approved. Really quickly, I just want to thank, started this negotiation, I believe, in March of 2019. Over that time, the folks we've been dealing with have changed. I do want to thank Ricky Grover, who began these negotiations a year and a half ago. And I also want to thank John Bussey, who is the current union president who took over in the middle of these negotiations as the union president. I just want to thank all of their team on a great negotiation. I also want to take this opportunity to thank Karen and Chief Lynch for assisting us throughout this bargaining session. And I'm just obviously really thrilled to be able to, with tonight's vote, to have all of our union contracts on the municipal side settled. I'm sure I'll get 1 month off, and then we'll be back at it in August. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, questions or comments from the audience? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-41. Majority roll call votes required. Clerk will call the roll.
Chairman.
Yes.
Passanti.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Legri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
Zero, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you. Councilor Jones, I apologize that they're not in order, but they're not in order on the agenda, so hence why the issue. So next up is resolution 20-35, FY20 Capital Plan Round 2. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 20-35. Fiscal Year 20 Capital Plan Round 2, an appropriation for Fiscal Year 20 Capital Plan Round 2, total amount requested, $855,000. The purpose, to appropriate funds for the Fiscal Year 20 Capital Plan Round 2. This is going to go by description, department, source, and then the amount. Ambulance, fire department receipts reserved for appropriation, $350,000. Electrician staff van under facilities, free cash, $45,000. Networking equipment under information technology, free cash, $110,000. Roads and infrastructure under DPW, free cash, $350,000, for a total of $855,000. This is a motion. Be it moved and voted by the town council that the sum of $350,000 be transferred from receipts reserved for appropriation ambulance fund, and that the sum of $505,000 be transferred from free cash to be expended at the discretion of the town administrator to include any residual funds remaining in line items for the fiscal year 2020 general fund capital plan round two as outlined above. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-35.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So both of the requests before you in terms of capital plan round two were unanimous. These recommendations were unanimously approved by both the Finance Committee as well as the Town Council Capital Budget Subcommittee chaired by Councilor Calegri. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago to review the recommendations of the Finance Committee. Councilor Jones already just basically explained out all the expenditures. And so I'll just yield the floor and be happy to answer any questions that folks have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, question or comments from the audience? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-35. Again, a majority roll call votes required. Clerk will call the roll.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Passanti.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Resolution 20-32, FY20 appropriation transfers. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 20-32, an appropriation for transfers of fiscal year 20 The purpose, to transfer fiscal year 20 appropriations to cover the unanticipated shortfalls as follows. Sources, 0122-5200, regional dispatch expenses of $68,000. Uses, 0122-0200, fire expenses, $60,000. 0115-2200, human resources expenses, $8,000, for a total of $68,000. Motion, be it moved and voted by the town council that the sum of $68,000 be transferred from the regional dispatch expense account to the above named expense accounts in the amount stated prior to June 30th, 2020. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Golden Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-32.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Discussion, Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this, as folks that have been on the council know, at the end of the year, if there's any, if departments have gone over budget or under budget, we usually make a year-end transfer. What this really indicates to the community tonight is that the departments are all working within their budget, which is exceptionally good news, especially in a year like this, where the last 4 months have been so up in the air. I just can't thank the finance team enough and all the department heads for being able to triage this, to be in a position where, after the revenue loss that we've had over the last several months, to be in a position where we budgeted and anticipated the right amount of revenue that we ended up bringing in. We are going to get by FY20 without any major setbacks, and we're able to cover all the bills. And these are just a couple of administrative items that we're going to have to transfer money to cover those accounts. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, questions or comments from the audience? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-32. Majority roll call votes required. Councillor Jones, please call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Santi.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
And zero, sir.
Motion carries. And our last resolution of the evening, resolution 20-34, authorized town administrator to grant temporary expansion licenses. Clerk will call it, or clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 20-34, authorization of town administrator to grant temporary extension of licensed premises for outdoor dining. Whereas the state has instructed municipalities to develop and issue temporary expansion alcohol licenses, entertainment licenses, and on-premise consumption food, entertainment, and alcohol licenses. Now therefore be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin hereby grants authority to the Town Administrator to grant temporary expansion alcohol licenses, entertainment licenses, and on-premise consumption, food, entertainment, and alcohol licenses. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Golden Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-3.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Jamie?
Yep. Through you, Mr. Chairman, as you may recall, Councilor Kelly and all of you voted for authorizing to do the temporary licenses. Was it maybe June 3rd? And that night, the town attorney noted that that was acceptable, given the timeliness of it, and that we would have to take the formal roll call vote with that authorization later on. So this is just the last step in that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Discussion, questions, or comments from the council?
Debbie has her hand up.
Debbie, Councilor Pellegri.
Thank you. Just a comment. I would hope that Jamie is going to keep us informed with all of these outdoor eating establishments. If there are problems, and even if it's just going very well, we'd like to know about it, okay?
Sure thing.
Thank you. Through the chair.
Thank you, Councillor Pellegri. Councillor Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to congratulate the restaurants on opening back up, really. I mean, we pushed for this for the last couple months. I know Councilor Jones and I had several forums during the COVID crisis. It's nice to see them open. It's nice to see them doing outside dining, especially with the nice weather. Sorry, Brutus. But at the end of the day, this is great. I'm glad we pushed for this resolution a couple weeks ago. You know, I've been dining outside at all my favorite spots, and I can't be happier. I feel like it's just a different type of Franklin right now to be able to sit outside at some of these places I never got an opportunity to go before and do so. So welcome back to the businesses, and couldn't be more excited for them and their employees. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to echo Councilor Kelly's point, you know, we have been kind of working hard together along with the rest of the council and the town administration on coming up with some plans to try to get things open, as well as coming up with accommodations for outside service. And it's good to see things finally moving ahead. It's great for the community. It's great for the businesses. And I know a lot of people took advantage of the funding that was given by the feds. And I'm glad to see many of the local businesses starting to open up again. It must have been very difficult for them to stay closed, just as much as it was difficult for us not to visit them. So I think this is a positive move forward, and I'm just glad to see progress. Thank you to everybody who's worked hard for this.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor Bisanti.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, through Jamie. Jamie, with the openings on the restaurants for the outdoor seating and dining, are they still being held to the governor's protocols in certain capacity or percentages, or does the size of the restaurant dictate each individual seating capacity or volume at the restaurant?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I think, Councilor Bisanti, I heard your entire comment. So basically right now, they're allowed to, you know, there's guidance that says you have to be 10 feet away from this, 20 feet away from that. And so the parking lot space is really more contingent upon, you know, the borders that the other requirements of social distancing. The tables have to be 6 feet apart. So each business can kind of customize it almost a little bit themselves. I think in terms of indoor, I believe when we get to phase three, I believe it is 50% of the indoor capacity. Don't quote me on that, but I'm fairly certain it's 50%. And then the one additional piece is when phase three comes into effect either this Monday or July 6th, that I believe bars, not actual, just, you know, the actual place of a bar, people can actually go back up and sit up there too. So, you know, the next phase is going to be a real big one. I think you're going to see, you know, hopefully that's when a lot of restaurants will be able to get back to action and thrive. I know we've heard a lot of stories, and Chrissy can certainly tell us all the folks that have been permitted thus far. We have had a bunch, but, you know, there were a lot of issues about getting staff back on time and whether they had supplies in the kitchen. And so, you know, hopefully over the coming weeks, a lot of those businesses will get back. The last thing I would mention is that we have worked with Gallagher's downtown. I was able to work with the landowners on both sides. They will be able to use the alleyway through November 1st. I believe the owner is getting the final sign-off and paperwork required by state to come back to us, and they should have their permit as soon as possible. They will be permitted for four tables with a maximum of 6 seats per table. So 24 chairs outside, and hopefully when phase three gets here, some of those restaurants will be able to fill the seats inside. And as Councilor Kelly points out, hopefully folks go out and take advantage of the great places to eat and put some money in those pockets of those restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just one more question for Jamie. I want to thank you for helping out Gallagher's. I also want to thank you for helping the Elks. Doing a great job. Kudos for all that. And I yield the floor, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. No further counselors with their hands up. I would look to the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that has a comment or a question? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 20-34. Majority roll call votes required. Councilor Jones, please call the roll.
Kelly.
Yes.
Flagry.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Earls?
Yes.
Asante?
Yes.
Chandler?
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you, one and all. It was a lengthy legislation. Moving on, Town Administrator's report.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, really quickly, just to the last resolution, I'd be remiss. I really want to make sure I thank Chrissy, who's been doing all of this licensure work for all of the outdoor seating from home, and just want to thank her for all of her hard work. You know, herding all the cats on the staff to get the approvals in a timely manner. You know, we shouldn't all be surprised, but I do want to thank her for her hard work on all of this and really taking a lot of this actually off my plate. So I just want to thank her really quick. And by my count, looking it up tonight, I believe we have 3 active cases in town. The official numbers will hopefully come up from the Board of Health by the end of the week. But by my count, we have 3 active COVID cases. We've had an increase of 1 total case in a week. Really, words do no justice. I mean, I just thank the whole town, the staff, council, everybody. You know, Franklin's done a tremendous job to be in this position on June 24th as we head into the 4th of July. 3.5 months ago, I don't think we could have seen ourselves here. Obviously, we all still have a lot of work to do moving forward, but in a town of 35,000, to have an active case of count of 3, you know, really, it just says a lot about this community. So, appreciate everybody's hard work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Future agenda items. Councilor Bisanti.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Earls.
Nothing at the moment.
Councilor Hamblin.
Nothing at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Kelly.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Pellegri.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Jones.
Yes, sir.
Councilor DeLarco.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councilor comments. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the town of Franklin for turning out to 2 historic meetings during our budget hearings. I thought that was very novel, having the meetings and on the football field, and what a great turnout. Heard some great points, heard some great voices, compliment our fellow council too that we did get a budget out, and let's see where we go from here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. With the budget uncertainties, thank you, Jamie, for getting that last union contract done and everybody wrapped up. I'm sure that's a big deal. And lastly, I don't know if anyone heard this. At 5:15, I saw a tweet come out from the State House about possibly $350 million in PPE costs to help out the towns. I don't know if Jamie saw anything from that. No.
That's good news, though.
Yeah, it was from Aaron.
Michael Witz.
Yeah.
Aaron, Representative Michael Witz is from the North End, and he's the chairman of the House Ways.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Look into that.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Earls.
Nothing at the moment.
Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. It's nice to see all the people that did tune in to listen to us. And again, Franklin TV and Pete and Steve for recording us, and all of the town administrative staff for getting this together for us so we can continue on with our work. And have a great 4th of July, everyone, and stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also, happy 4th of July to everyone. We won't see you until after that. One of the things that came up tonight that I'd love to see happen, Jamie, maybe you can make this happen, is some of these resources that we have in the town. Maybe collectively get them all on one tab on the website, on the town website, so that people can see all those. I know they're all over the place in certain areas, so that would be great if we could do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Pellegri.
I I have just a couple of things. I wanted to talk about the budget hearing that went very well, I think. I want to thank all the people that showed up. I wanted to thank Franklin TV and our chairman, who did a wonderful job in advertising for them. I think you like doing that, so you probably are going to look for a new job. And I want to say that I think it's a very sad year, not because of just the 4th of July, certainly because of the COVID, but it's going to be the first time in probably close to 40 years we haven't done anything for the 4th of July. So I thought I saw something on cable that said, or through a text, one or the other, that it would be a virtual type thing, but I don't have any information about it. And that's not a bad idea. If we have some fireworks and we can all just go on there and take a look at them and maybe just reminisce about all the wonderful years that we've had over the past 40, 45 years. Okay. And again, thank you for everybody that showed up for the budget hearing. And I'm sure we're going to make everything work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Pellegrini. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to, you know, repeat what my fellow councillors said, thank you for everyone who's really put their heart and souls into making our meetings work. For the past few months, I know it's been hard for many. I'm personally sick of Zoom meetings, which is why I was so happy with last week's budget hearings outside of the football field. That was great planning. We got really, really lucky with the weather and the warmth. So maybe it's a good sign. Maybe things are really getting positive and moving forward. And I'm really looking forward to working with the rest of you guys this summer on making the town move forward. Other than that, I'd just like to welcome Denise Spencer. I know she was officially given support by the Franklin School Committee last night in regards to becoming a liaison to the Franklin Ed Foundation. If there's anyone else in the community that would like to be part of the Franklin Ed Foundation, by all means, you can reach out to me or Pandora Colucci or Roberta Chahen in regards to helping us out. As Lord knows, we need help, a lot like the rest of our organizations do. This fundraising is going to be particularly difficult, but we'll think of something. Other than that, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Good to see everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through you. Again, thank everyone. Last week, I was very nervous about last week, but it all went very well, and I was very happy for that. Happy 4th of July. And Jamie, thank you for, getting all, you and your staff getting everything up and running for all the places to get going. You know, Gallagher's, the Elks, and stuff like that. That's really good. It shows how good the town is. So, with that, and I would like to give my condolences to the Eastwood family. We lost Paul Eastwood a couple weeks ago, and he's been a lifelong resident of Franklin. So, I'd like to give a shout out, my condolences to his family. Outside of that, Mr. Chairman, I'm all set.
Thank you, Councillor DeLocco. Obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to everybody who was involved in putting last week's budget hearings together. I know there were a few sleepless nights at my house as we approached that, trying to put that together. But a special thanks, obviously, to Mike D'Angelo, who really went above and beyond for those meetings. And Pete Fasciano, bringing his team together, Steve Sherlock and everybody from Franklin TV, very much appreciate all the time and effort. Those, we were there in the evening, but you guys were there all afternoon when it was really hot, getting everything set up. So it's certainly on behalf of the council, very much appreciated. It was unique. It's something that we can talk about for years to come, having a budget hearing in the middle of the football field. And only occasionally was I face down. And beyond that, certainly a happy 4th of July to everybody. And thank you, everyone, for signing on to our Zoom meeting tonight. It's really a pleasure to see so many people getting involved, even if it's just to listen to see how your local government runs. So thank you very much for that. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Non-debatable. Councilor Jones, call the roll. Yes, I do like to say that.
Yeah.
Yes. Chandler.
Yes.
Basanti.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. DeLorco.
Yes.
Mercer.
Yes.
9-0, we're out of here.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.